Welcome back. Well, tomorrow, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky travels to Saudi Arabia ahead of talks with US officials aimed at reaching a peace deal between Russia and Ukraine. It comes as heavy Russian bombardment in eastern Donetsk this weekend killed 14 and injured 40, and with a large-scale Russian offensive underway against Ukrainian troops in Kursk. Dr. Samuel Romani, Associate Fellow at the Royal United Services Institute and author of Putin's War on Ukraine, joins us now. Dr. Romani, can I start by asking you about those talks in Jeddah tomorrow? Tentative steps towards peace, but how much is really expected to come from them?
Well, I think that there's going to be a long road towards actually getting any kind of agreement. When you look at what we've been seeing from the latest internal U.S. reports, it appears as if even signing the mineral deal between the U.S. and Ukraine will not be sufficient to get Trump to restore military aid or restore intelligence sharing to the Ukrainians, which is essential in terms of stalling the Russians and stopping their aggression. They want Zelensky to make territorial concessions and also consider elections in wartime, which runs against Ukrainian law. So the division between Washington and Kiev is so stark, I think that it's very hard to see progress.
Are the talks really perhaps more about Ukraine trying to keep the US on side rather than any realistic suggestion of a possible deal?
Well, I think that the Ukrainians obviously want to regain support from the Americans, because the loss of intelligence support is catastrophic for them. We're already seeing the Russians make significant gains in Kursk, maybe going up to the Suja pipeline, and the North Korean forces are now much more effective in using drones than they were the first time around. And they lose Kursk, they lose a critical bargaining chip for territory inside Ukraine. So the situation is very urgent for the Ukrainians. They need American support. European solidarity only goes so far.
Russia won't be in Jeddah, of course, US and Ukrainian officials will. But what do you think Russia's position is likely to be if and when it gets to a negotiating table?
Well, Russia, obviously, and Ukraine cannot really speak to each other. I mean, Zelensky's got basically a legal amendment basically saying that there's no peace deal with Putin. And Putin doesn't recognize Zelensky as a legitimate president based on a misinterpretation of the Ukrainian law, which implies that his term expired in May, which actually, you know, was under martial law and his term is legitimate. So the Russians and Ukrainians can't talk to each other right now. That's why we have to have these parallel track negotiations. I think the Russians are going to be very emboldened by some of Trump's recent decisions, and they're going to be pushing for maximalist objectives, which include probably Ukraine ceding the entirety of the four annexed regions, including parts of Zaporizhia and Kherson that they don't currently hold, with a specter of fear that if you don't do that, things could be much worse for you, and by next year we might be on the gates of Kiev again.
Well, President Trump has spoken of possible sanctions against Russia in recent days in order to try and get them to a negotiating table. What do you think those sanctions might look like, and how concerned do you think Moscow really is about any imposition of sanctions from the US at the moment?
Well, the Trump administration and some of his close allies have always dangled the prospect that if Russia does not play in good faith with negotiations, the U.S. could go the other route and start pressuring Russia with a maximum pressure strategy to bring them to the table. And that's something that Lindsey Graham has talked about in the Senate, and also Fred Fleitz, who's another advisor on foreign policy who's close to the MAGA orbit. But I don't think that there's that much concern inside Russia about these types of sanctions right now. I mean, obviously, a true maximum pressure strategy would combine pairing these sanctions on gas facilities, on banks, which are already mostly sanctioned anyways, on nuclear energy, with actual aggressive increases in arms shipments to Ukraine. But if you're imposing a maximum pressure strategy on Russia and Ukraine at the same time, it really gets diluted. So that's why I don't think the Kremlin's so worried.
There is, of course, that Russian advance in Kursk underway at the moment, where Ukraine had taken some Russian ground, but it certainly looks like that Russian advance is succeeding. Do you think that that is likely to succeed for Moscow in the coming days?
I think the situation is very difficult in Kursk. I mean, the Ukrainian general staff is putting on a brave face and saying that the Suja pipeline area is actually secure, and that the Ukrainians were able to rebuff the Russians and the North Koreans there. But Russian telegram channels are warning of an encirclement, and also Putin himself had alluded to the possibility of a big new offensive in Ukraine, and Russians are talking about potentially entering across the border into Sumy to further cut off logistical supply chains. So I think that the situation for Ukraine is very difficult. Whether it takes days or weeks, I don't know. But I think that it's very unlikely that the Ukrainians are going to be able to hold on to Kursk by the time negotiations begin in earnest.
Dr. Samuel Romani, Associate Fellow at the Royal United Services Institute, many thanks for joining us.